So when Elizabeth went missing on August 28th of 1984, it was very quickly marked off as a runaway. Hi guys, this is The Missing Ones. I am Liberty Campbell.
And I'm Alexis Peterson.
How are you?
Good. I can't believe it's already like, as we're recording this, it's Sunday night, and I'm like, oh man, Monday's tomorrow.
I'm looking forward to Monday. I really like Mondays. It's a day of the week that I like get to get my life together because my house falls apart on the weekends, and then I kind of like go grocery shopping and get everything put back together on Monday mornings.
Makes sense. We spent the whole day today just cleaning our house. Yesterday we were out and about. We went to Home Depot and got a grapefruit tree, even though we have nowhere to plant it. And then we got like a couple other like yard work things. And then we just like spent the whole day like out and about. And so today we just spent the whole day cleaning the house.
I really wish that it was warm enough here to grow citrus. Like I would love to have an orange tree or a lemon tree, but it's just too cold. Yesterday, I slept until 11 o'clock, which was amazing. And then my dad showed up. So I literally got up, got dressed, and went outside. And I stayed outside all day. Like, it was amazing. Like, if you can tell, my face is sunburned. It's finally starting to warm up here. Tuesday is supposed to be like 46 degrees. And then after that, it's supposed to go up into the 70s. And I'm so excited.
I want to talk about our abnormally 90 degree weather here. That's, everyone's been like, it's too hot. Normally it's not this hot in March.
I'm perfectly happy with like 70 degrees in March. That makes me happy. But that's just me. I love the warm. I love spring.
Yeah, me too. I like early spring where it's warm enough to where you feel like happier and like, it's not too warm, but not too cool because you still have that cold air coming in, but it's not yet muddy. You know what I mean? It's not late spring where like the snow melts or like everything kind of melts and it's all like muddy and swampy.
Yes, I know exactly what you mean.
It's not quite like summertime where you're dying of heat.
Yes.
So I'm like an early spring person where it's like just after winter, but not quite like spring.
Yeah, like transitioning into spring. Yeah, I know, I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that time of year too. What is the, it's for Miss Congeniality. What is the date? What's your perfect date? April 25th. It's not too hot and it's not too cold. All you need is a light jacket.
Such a good movie.
I love that movie. Okay, speaking of television shows and / movies, this is not really anything. It's not a movie. Are you a fan of Law & Order SVU?
I've never watched it.
We can no longer be friends, just so we're clear.
I'm so sorry. I've seen like that NCIS and
it's not
those
the same
kind of shows, but I haven't quite strayed into like Law & Order or like Breaking Bad or...
See, Breaking Bad I've never done, but Law & Order SVU, it has to be Special Victims Unit, it has to be. I have watched since I was a toddler, and I wish that I was kidding. I love that show so much, and this week, one of like the main characters from the beginning of the show is coming back with his own show, and I'm dying with excitement. You have no idea. I literally, like, it's all I've been able to think about for the past 3 months. And I post about it on my Instagram constantly. So if you follow me and you're tired of it, it's okay. You're gonna be okay because Stabler is amazing, Benson is amazing, and it's all coming together. And Duncan keeps telling me that it's a really mean April Fool's joke, and I think that the internet would explode if it was. So I just had to put my 2 cents in there. Also, it's on Hulu. Alexis, get your life together. Watch Law & Order SVU. Thank you.
Okay, I'll try to watch it this week. and get back to you next week or next time we record and let you know if I've seen it or if I've been lazy.
Listen, I think you should know I'm going to be texting you every day. Watch Law & Order. Watch Law & Order. Watch Law & Order. Because it's life. It's life.
All right. All right. So do you watch or listen to the podcasts?
Yes, religiously. I love them so much. They're the loves of my life. Not really, but yes, it's called That's Messed Up, an SVU podcast, and it's by two comedians. It's so funny. It was a good one today. In fact, maybe that's what I'll do after we record is go watch SVU.
Yeah, I tried to listen to the Office Ladies podcast and then at the same time watch that episode to see like everything they're talking about and analyze it. But it's just so hard because the episodes go so fast and they like pause every second. And so it's like, oh man, I can't do like listen and watch and do something else. I have to like only do listen and watch at the same time so I can pause it when they pause it. And sometimes they jump around, which is really nice listening wise, but really awful if you're also trying to watch it at the same time.
These guys, they like the week before they tell you the episode that they're going to discuss and then you have all week to watch it. And then they talk about the episode and then they talk about the crime it was based on. And then they have an interview with somebody from that episode. And I have watched the episode before listening like one time, but I usually just don't have time to watch it. Like I'm either going to bed early or I'm working or whatever. So I'm trying really hard to like watch the episodes after I listen to the podcast because I think it's fun to listen to their perspective and then watch the episode again. Because I've seen every single episode ever made more than once. When I was pregnant with Scarlett, I rewatched the entire series. There are 22 seasons, by the way. 22 seasons. So I need a life, but it's fine.
A life other than true crime? Who would you be?
The crazy chicken lady? I mean, I kind of already am, but it's fine.
Any closer to your goat giving birth?
No. No, I am not any closer to tiny baby goats, or at least it doesn't feel like that. So it looks like her belly has dropped, like the babies have dropped into her birth canal. Hi, you're going to have a biology lesson here, kids. And there's like two ligaments on either side of her tail that I guess when those like disappear, you're within like 12 hours of her giving birth and they're still there. They feel like a pencil and they're getting softer, but they're not gone yet. So I'm expecting tiny baby goats within the week. And if they are not here by Wednesday, when this goes up, I am having a revolt. I don't know. I just want a baby goat, okay?
Maybe you'll get Easter goats.
Oh, that would be fun. That would be fun. I would like that.
Have your own petting zoo with, you know, some people get bunnies for Easter. You'll just get baby goats and all your chickens. And then maybe you started incubating eggs and didn't even know it. And so you'll have baby chicks too.
Just have all the baby animals.
Mm-hmm.
That would make me happy.
Free petting zoo for Scarlett.
Yeah, I'll make my own damn petting zoo. Just kidding. That's expensive. Animals are expensive. Do you know what else is expensive? All of them. I have, okay, let's see. I've got two dogs. I have a cat. I have 16 chickens and two goats.
And two dogs and two
cats. I said those.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Okay, I'm hallucinating. I was thinking the whole time, and she's gonna get a horse and and someday. So that's where my mind was going and then I was like, oh wait, she didn't mention, but you probably did.
Someday. Speaking of my dogs, Bo turned 5 this week, so happy birthday to Bo. He's so cute. He got 2 eggs with his dinner. Also, did you know that you could feed your dog raw eggs?
Yeah, she doesn't like it though.
Well, your dog is weird.
She likes scrambled eggs and will kind of eat them. Like, she'll eat them if they're on my plate, but sometimes when I mix them into her food, she won't eat them, even though they're made the same. like, I'll make them and then give her some and give me some. And then she's like, no, I just want what you have.
She's like a toddler.
Oh, yeah. She's
worse. I will give Scarlett the exact same thing I have, but she will want mine. I don't get it. I don't get it. Oh, man. Well, I guess we're going to be going to Vegas hopefully soon. I know, I'm so excited. No, we're going to go down there and look for a car because I guess diesel is supposed to get way more expensive. And the car that Duncan drives is really expensive to drive. And I just need a new car. And they're significantly cheaper down there. So we're going to go down there and look for something. And I'm so excited. So excited.
And maybe party on the home.
There is a good possibility alcohol will be involved, yeah.
Nice. Just not as long as you're driving. That's just a little PSA.
Yes. Yes. You should all know that we will look at cars during the day and then at night I will Uber. I will not drive my new car. I will be Ubering. So make that very clear to you. I don't know how much partying we would actually do. Yes, so my neighbor actually just got a Ford Escape, and I really love it, so I think that's what I'm going to go with.
That's the car I was going to go with, too. Just to call it Escape from Finding Nemo.
That's exactly what Duncan said, and he goes, if you get a blue one, we're naming it Dory. Yeah, I named my car, judge me. And then he was like, I'm going to get a sticker that says, that's funny, it sounds just like escape, or it's spelled just like escape, but it's pronounced escape. And I was like, no, we're not doing that. We're not getting a sticker that says that and putting it on the car. It's not happening.
No, that's just how I would refer to it all the time. Escape.
Escape. You know what's really funny about that?
Hmm.
Is that I totally have a Dory stuffed animal right here.
Just sitting next to you.
Yeah, I one time mentioned it to my mother-in-law that I liked Finding Nemo and Finding Dory, and now I have all things Finding Nemo and Dory. Yeah,
it's okay. You do have a daughter, so.
You're right, I do.
It works.
And I'm pretty sure she fell asleep in front of her bedroom door.
It's okay.
She's just chilling in front of her door. She's just sitting there. She's so weird.
My so current weird. Favorite thing to do is watch Selena Spooky Boo and her sleepwalking videos. It is the most hilarious thing ever. And then, like, she just recently posted, like, the stuff she edits out. And it's, like, you know, standing in front of the sink with the water running for a full 7 minutes. Or just, like, standing still, staring at nothing for a good 17 minutes, or just sitting at a table, you know? And I'm like, no, yes. No, you gotta keep those in, because that, it, just like the randomness.
It's so, much,
just, like,
it's so funny.
The idea of just standing there for 7 minutes, running water. Is
my favorite
so
is that she took a drink out of an upside down cup.
Yeah.
And it I just also said, like, drinks the- nothing.
Yeah, I also like the ones where, like, she has her husband in them, too, and to see his reaction, too, and him just dying laughing.
Like, I'm so done with this. I can't even. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Or, like, the one where she, like, walked outside and walked and, like, started feeding her lawn with the drinks, and the guy is just walking down the street and sees her, like,
he's like, what the hell? Take. My favorite.
And then, like, and then the other one where she, as you're dying, she, like, is, she has this huge plant that looks, it's super leafy, and she, like, is feeling it, and then she accidentally pulls a leaf off and feels so bad that she takes off her wig and puts it on her plant and walks away, just like, oh, sorry, I pulled this off, here, you can have mine.
I love the one where they take the table out of their room and she's like standing there super confused. She's like,
yeah,
confusion. And it's just so funny. Or where she gets mayonnaise out of the fridge. Oh, it's so funny.
Or when she just drinks some maraschino cherries, just drinks it. I also like the ones where she, like, farts for a really long time. It's just randomly. I was hoping the one with her brother would be a lot funnier. I thought they were going to interact a lot more, but it wasn't as funny as I thought it was going to be.
I don't think I've seen that one.
It's just not as, like, climactic as I would like it to be. So, but she just posted her full, like, compilation on YouTube of, like, all her videos and then some, like, bonus content.
We're going to have to put that on the blog. That will be funny.
It's really funny.
We definitely needed a laugh before we talk about what we're going to talk about. But we are going to have a quick ad break before our disclaimer. Do you want to give us a quick disclaimer?
So today's episode is another rough one. We will talk about abductions, rape, incest, domestic violence, being held captive, child death, and just a lot of really horrible things in general. So please proceed with caution.
So if you have not listened to last week's episode, I'm going to recommend that you go and do that now. I'm going to go ahead and give you a quick recap. Elizabeth Fritzl has been missing since 1984, when she was only 18. In those years, three of her children have been left on her abusive father's doorstep, each one with a note saying she didn't want to take care of them. In April of 2008, Elizabeth's father brings another one of her children to the hospital, only this child is 19 and deathly ill. He tells the hospital and authorities that Elizabeth left the girl because she could no longer take care of her. At this point, the search for Elizabeth is back on and the clock is ticking because her daughter Kirsten was dying and they needed to know her medical history. Well, on April 26th of 2008, Elizabeth shows up at the hospital with her father and they are immediately taken into custody. And that's where we left off last week.
So where has she been this whole time?
Well, what Elizabeth tells police about the last 24 years does not just shock them. It shocks the entire world. Everyone is horrified by what this girl, who is now a woman, had faced for over two decades. I am going to take you back to the day that Elizabeth disappeared. Her mother, Rosemary, left the house to run some errands, and Elizabeth's dad, Joseph, called her into the garage. There are differing stories about what happened next. I've read that he asked for her help to hang a door in the basement. He then knocked her down and closed the door that they had just hung, leaving Elizabeth locked inside. Another article said that he grabbed her by the hair and dragged her into the garage where he used handcuffs and chloroform to subdue her and then drug her body to the basement.
Either way, that's awful.
Right?
Like, no matter what the story is, why would you do that to your child?
Oh, dude, it gets so much worse.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's so bad. See, Joseph was more than a horrible father. We already know that he molested Elizabeth as a child, but what I didn't include is that he once followed a woman home, raped her, and then left, thinking that he wouldn't be caught. But he was, and he served 18 months in prison for this crime. Joseph was also found outside of a woman's home, peeping through her windows and touching himself. What we learned from this is that he's a creep.
Yeah.
After being caught for raping a woman, he realized that he needed a way to rape and do horrible things without being caught. So Joseph put together a plan. He would go on to obtain a building permit for a nuclear bomb shelter from the city. This made complete sense because it was during the Cold War in Austria. Which I understand that the Cold War was mostly between Russia and the United States, but everything over there in Europe kind of, I mean, I know Russia and Europe aren't the same, but everything kind of meshes together. And so it was like a real concern for them. But he began construction in 1978. One article I read said that he didn't start construction until the early 80s, but I'm going to go ahead and believe the 1978 because it was from a documentary on YouTube called Real Stories, and they seem more credible to me. This man had a plan in place for 6 years to kidnap his child and hold her hostage. Underneath his home in Austria, he built what can only be described as a dungeon without anyone knowing. The government thought that it was a nuclear bomb shelter.
So his wife didn't have any idea either. Like, you would think that somebody might have a little inkling.
So she knew that he was building something, but she didn't know what he was building. This is the layout of the underground home that Elizabeth spent 24 years in. Wow. This will be on our blog. Right here, it says it shows the utility room. All of this was closed off from the family. And it originally started out as just the living area and the bathroom. And then in the 90s, he added on to his dungeon. It's the only way I can explain it. And here is a picture of the home. And like Alexa said, everything will be on the blog and on Instagram. So, but here is the home in Austria. And then this is like actually inside of it. You can see how small this space was.
Yeah, I mean, the hallways look like it's just like enough for shoulder width, if that.
Yeah.
Almost looks like you have to walk down sideways. I mean, there's not even a door for going to the bathroom. It just looks like a curtain.
But there's like a full-size bathtub in there and a sink and a bedroom. And this is the only photo of the actual inside I could find. I'll look and see if I can find more, but this is the only one I could find when I did look. But it just shows like the bathroom area and what looks like it's leading down into one of the bedrooms. So for 24 years, she was forced to live underneath her home, all while her family thought she was missing. Once Joseph had his daughter captive, he lied to the police and his family, saying he didn't have any clue where the girl might be. But in reality, Joseph would make time every single day to visit his daughter, to bring her food, to check on her, and to rape her. After 2 years of being held captive, Elizabeth became pregnant. It resulted in a miscarriage, but 2 years later, Elizabeth would become pregnant again. This time, she would carry to term. In August of 1988, she gave birth to a girl, Kirsten. And 2 years later, another baby was born by the name of Stefan.
Did he not think anything was going to happen? Like, when
I don't know.
He raped her, did he not, like, make that conscious? Or did he not care? Or did he, like, I don't...
So according to the Real Stories documentary on YouTube, he had planned to continue doing this with those children. How accurate that is, I don't know. But, I mean, I don't think he really cared, to be completely honest with you. Elizabeth tried as hard as she could to give her children a normal life. She taught them basic education and survival skills, all while they relied on Joseph's weekly rations that he brought them. Elizabeth would go on to have 5 more children, all fathered by her own father. One of the children she had passed away just a few days after birth. And remember the 3 kids that she had supposedly left on their doorstep?
Yeah, what about those?
Well, they were put there by Joseph. And the way that he chose which children got to go live with them and who got to stay in the basement was by determining who was the quietest and who was the loudest.
What?
Yeah, Grandpa of the Year, don't you think?
Wait, so how many children were there total?
There were 7 children total. One of them passed away shortly after being born, though. So 3 of them were taken up to live with him and his wife, and 3 of them were left in the basement.
So were the loudest ones in the basement and the quieter ones?
No, the louder ones got to go live with him and his wife because they were too loud. He was afraid that he'd be caught.
So, theoretically, like, if all of them were quiet, he would have just kept all of them down there, and we wouldn't have known any of this. Like, there's a possibility that he wouldn't even be caught, you know?
No, because the oldest one, Kirsten, became extremely ill when she was 19, and Elizabeth was able to convince him to take her to the hospital, and that's how they were discovered. So I think that it would have come out eventually, but he he would take these children as infants because they were screaming because they were sick and, like, you know, lacked basic human needs, and would put them up with his wife and raise them as their own, which I think is totally, totally messed up. As the kids got older, Joseph would bring photos down to show the kids that were trapped in the basement how happy the other kids were. He really rubbed it in that they got to live a life outside of the basement. And the best part is that social service agents didn't question anything about how they got these children. They were like, well, guess your daughter's a drug addict, and dropped him off on your porch and called it a day. They didn't question it at all.
Say, it kind of sounds like they dropped the ball. I mean, like, you know, they might have only so many resources. I mean, we've heard things like in the social service went to have a visitation with the parent, the dad, and he ended up, like, grabbing the kids and locking the door before the social worker could get in, and then
blowing the house up, and after he hit his kids with a hatchet. That's Josh Powell. I have many feelings about him.
Anyway, they dropped the ball. That's where we left off.
Yes, absolutely. They absolutely dropped the ball. But I mean, it was the late 80s, early 90s. So it really, like, I mean, it wasn't impossible that she was just traveling the countryside and didn't want to take care of these infants. I mean, it makes sense. And every one of them had come with a note from Elizabeth talking about how she left them there for them to care for. So why would they ask any questions, you know? And here is the most insane thing about the entire situation, is that no one but Joseph and Elizabeth knew about this. No one knew. Not his wife, not the other children, not even the tenants that lived in their spare bedrooms. In fact, there is one tenant who had a dog, and every single night this dog would perk his ears up and listen very closely, as if he could hear Elizabeth and the children below.
That is so scary.
Right? There's no doubt in my mind that dog knew those kids, they were there. There's doubt in my mind. And no one was allowed near the basement. And since everyone was afraid of him, he, you know, they listened. He was an abusive control freak. Joseph was so desperate to keep this secret that he went to what I would call extremes. Well, I mean, he's not exactly known for being calm in situations, but when going to the store for them, he would stop at one store for his upstairs family, as he often referred to them as, and then he would drive to the other side of town or even a completely different town to shop for Elizabeth and the three children.
That's crazy.
I don't know why you would do that. That doesn't make sense to me. But teach their own, I guess.
Low profile, in case he ran into somebody who... Because he was a social butterfly, remember? So he knew everybody. And so that probably is just to keep from... Oh, didn't you already go grocery shopping?
But wouldn't it make more sense to buy everything at once? I guess unless he took it home and was like, oh, hey, I'm going to go put some of this in the basement. Like, so I mean, I guess I can get it, but like... He's not exactly known for being smart or well. I don't know what the word I'm looking for here is. But the psychological and physical damage that these kids faced is indescribable. I mean, Kirsten would tear out clumps of her hair. She tore up her dresses and shoved them in the toilet, clogging it, causing the toilet to overflow and spread sewage all over their living space. One of the boys, Stefan, could not walk properly. At just 5'6", he had to stoop in the cellar, causing him to have prolonged spinal trouble. And this is really, really horrific. So brace yourself. It has been reported that the child that died shortly after birth was burned in the same stove that was used to heat the family's home.
No.
Yeah. How messed up is that?
So is that like thinking that he kind of used her to help, or I don't know if that's her, but
I
thought that he used the child to kind of as, you know.
What are you asking? I'm confused.
Like, did he use the child as kind of like something to heat the home with?
No, I don't think that he used it to heat the home. I think that it was just the easiest way to dispose of the body.
Mm, gotcha.
And I just think that it's messed up. The whole thing is messed up.
Yeah.
They celebrated birthdays and holidays. He extended the bunker and was nice enough to give her a washing machine so that she didn't have to wash clothes by hand. For 24 years, Elizabeth had to protect herself and the children. He forced her to deliver on her own, and their only connection to the outside world was a small TV and the semi-regular visits from Joseph. In April of 2008, Joseph's plan quickly began to unravel. Kirsten, the oldest daughter of Elizabeth's, became extremely sick. Elizabeth was able to convince Joseph to take her to the hospital and get help. After the hospital staff discovered she wasn't in any kind of database and the circumstances of how she got to the hospital was extremely suspicious, the search for Elizabeth is hot and heavy again, and everyone all over the country is looking for her so that she can help her daughter. And this is when Joseph brings Elizabeth out of her hellhole and back into the real world. And I cannot even begin to imagine what a shock that would have had to have been to her senses. I mean, she would have come back to a totally different world. I'm thinking like 2008, that was the year of razor phones and flat screen TVs. I mean, I can't even imagine.
When did she come back up?
In April of 2008.
Yeah, that's insane. Like, so much has gone by in the last 24 years.
So much. Like I said, it would be a completely different world for her. She went into this dungeon in the 80s. I mean, the world completely did a whole 360 and just changed. So I can't even imagine what it would have been like coming out of there. When she was taken into custody by police, she told them everything that had happened to her in the last 24 years. And since she was 11, he was arrested that night. The children in the basement were rescued, and Elizabeth's mother, Rosemary, was removed from the home. A psychiatrist interviewed Joseph extensively before the trial. Dr. Kastner concluded that his horrific childhood had driven him to want to control somebody completely. In the beginning, he tried to justify Elizabeth's captivity by saying it was to save her. Apparently, since puberty, she wasn't listening or following rules. And according to him, she was spending the nights out at a bar and would come home smelling like alcohol and smoking. He also explained that she tried to run away from home to hang out with, quote, questionable people, and he wanted to create a space where she was safe from people who would have only evil intentions. He confessed that his desire to have sex with Elizabeth started to increase, and by 8 months into her captivity, he could no longer control the urge to rape her, and so he did, repeatedly, for 24 years. When he was asked about handcuffing her and tying her with ropes, he said, quote, I don't have to do that. My daughter doesn't escape anyway, unquote. What? Like, I can't even begin to imagine how brainwashed this poor girl was. Oh, and Stockholm Syndrome, and I mean...
Yeah, she... To the point where she was abused, to the point where she just wouldn't do anything. That's so sad.
Well, I mean, she relied on him 110%, not only for herself, but for the three children he forced her to keep. He also confessed that years underground without any sunshine, medical care, or dental care, and a lack of basic vitamins really, really wreaked havoc on Elizabeth and her children. Elizabeth's teeth began to rot out of her head one by one, and according to Joseph, she remained strong despite being in unbearable pain and couldn't sleep. And if you've ever had teeth problem, I mean, there is no pain like that. I would rather have a baby 100 times over without medication than deal with teeth problems. I hate it. In Joseph's confession, he talked about how he planned to let his basement family go. They would come and tell the police and family that they were being held by someone somewhere else. But when Kirsten became sick, he said, quote, "They betrayed me sooner than I expected." Obviously, they betrayed you. You've kept them captive for their entire lives. When it came to the trial, the judge and authorities determined that it would be better for Elizabeth to give her testimony in private. So to the judge and the jury, she told them everything that happened to them over the course of 11 hours. An 11-hour testimony. He was sentenced to life in prison in March of 2009, but he will be eligible for parole in 2024. And yes, I checked, he is still alive.
Dang.
Right? Like, I low-key hope that everything he did to them is being done to him in prison. Just saying.
It's just ridiculous how, like, easy some sentences get. Well, there's some people who do not as bad, and they get such long sentences. Like, we've all heard the stories of, like, other people who have raped and are only sentenced to maybe 6 months, maybe, and then get off earlier than that.
Well, I mean, yeah, like Brock Turner, there was video footage of him raping a girl. He went to prison for 3 months.
And two witnesses.
Like what? And I mean, that's the United States. And the United States is messed up all on its own. I'm not even going to get started into that. But I agree. There's something broken in every justice system ever. But as for Elizabeth and her children, their whereabouts are only known by a very select few. Their names were changed, and they were taken to a town that is only known as Village X. This was to protect her from the media and the insane world. There is a new Lifetime movie called Girl in the Basement based on this case. I have not watched it yet, but it can be streamed on Amazon Prime, and I have heard really good things about it, though it is not 100% accurate. 2024 is not that far away. I do not think that he will be released, and if he is, then he's going to be well into his 90s. I can't remember exactly how old he is off the top of my head, but I mean, I can't imagine them releasing him. He hasn't been, if anything, they should keep him there for as long as he kept Elizabeth and the kids there. But that's my personal opinion.
Considering all the past convictions and then putting his own child in harm's way and then his grandchildren that are also not his grandchildren, they're kind of his. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Like,
putting minors in harm's way as well.
He was charged with murder for the death of the infant. And nobody knows how the kid died because he burned its body. This case was truly horrible and truly morbid. And I had to share it. I don't know why. I don't know what compelled me. I came across it on Facebook, and at first I didn't believe it. I was like, there's no way this actually happened. It did. It happened.
I mean, it's just crazy. The amount, like, the goal would be for us to be put out of a job, you know, that we don't have any cases to report. That would be the goal. Wouldn't you agree?
That would be absolutely amazing. In fact, somebody over on TikTok made a comment about the video I made about Breasia Terrell and the body that was found near where she went missing. And they were like, nobody wants an update. And you know what? That's not true. We don't do this for entertainment. We don't do this because we're sick and twisted. We do this because we really want to share these kids' stories. And we really want to bring them all home. And it's not about being in the family's businesses. It's not about exploiting them. It's not about attention. It is about wanting to bring attention to a serious problem. And this case is not exactly the biggest problem. I mean, it's not random children just going missing. But it was an interesting case that I felt needed to be shared. And I'm really glad that I got the opportunity to learn about it and to share it with you guys and to share it with you, Alexis.
Yeah, I thought it was super interesting. And, you know, you never know if somebody can apply any of these previous cases to their lives and maybe make a difference.
Exactly. If one person sees our Instagram post or a TikTok video and says, hey, I think I recognize this child, and they can bring this kid home to its family, to their family, we've done our job. If it's just one person, if it's just one child, we've done our job. Remember, guys, see something, say something. Every week, at the end of every episode, we like to highlight a kid who is missing, and we just don't know their story. A lot of children go missing without any real information being put out about them, and we still want to get their faces out there. So Alexis, who is our highlighted kid of the week?
So his name is Rondrees Phillips. He also goes by Rondrees Cortez Jr. Phillips. He has black hair, brown eyes, was about 3 feet at the time of his disappearance, weighed about 45 pounds, is male and black. The FBI are offering a reward for any information leading directly to his location. All they know is that he went missing on April 5th, 2018 in Homer, Louisiana. He was last seen wearing blue jeans, a white shirt, and yellow rubber boots. Phillips may also go by just the nickname of Junior. So if you have any tips or information, you can contact your local FBI office or the nearest American embassy or consulate. The current field office for this case is in New Orleans.
Well, hopefully one of our listeners will see his picture and will recognize him or know where he is or know something about where he is and will share that information. If for whatever reason you do not want to share that information directly to the FBI or the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, please feel free to send it to us, and we are more than happy to do that for you.
Thanks, guys, for listening. Remember to follow us over on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Missing Ones Pod. You can also join us over on Facebook in a new discussion group. Just search the Missing Ones Discussion Group and hit join. We want it to be a safe place for people to come and talk about the podcast, missing kids, other cases that draw their attention, and most importantly, share us with your friends and family.
Have a great week.
Bye.